Blog Talk Radio.
When I consider the vastness of God and all of the marvelous attractions that His hands have made, flowers and birds and oceans and mountains, truly God is an awesome wonder.
You are an awesome wonder.
You
are an awesome
wonder.
You are an awesome wonder.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome wonder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is my distinct joy, honor, and pleasure to join the Fellowship of Learners, our Friday Fellowship of Learners. And as we're coming to the end of a very powerful study and presentation of the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God, and we've gone through those flows and functions of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at each one and its power and its anointing that's poured into our life and what it brings about, this whole for the purpose of demonstrating the power of God on earth so that the earth will know he is an awesome wonder, even though his creation speaks to him, even though when you look out, or look up, or when you look, you see all of the wonder that is around us that came from his mind, from his mouth. He spoke it, he said it, he declared it, and it came to pass. And it came to pass according to his perfect blueprint. And this blueprint has been available far before the time began, before there was time. He was even before that. And that blueprint he has made available to those who fear him through the communion of the Holy Spirit. And so we humbly come to the table to be fed by him, to receive the treasures of his counsel, to receive the secrets of his counsel that brings about a transformation not just in us, but in the atmosphere and in the world around us. We are in awe of God, and it is our delight, for we have come to know who he is through the sevenfold flow of the Holy Spirit. This spiritual dynamics of this river of the flowing of the Holy Spirit through us daily, continuously, without limit, is the witness in our life to the world of the humanity of the reality of the Holy Spirit's power. The world needs to know about Holy Spirit. What has the world been revealed? What has been revealed to the world through your life as it relates to the Holy Spirit? They know the Father. They've heard about the Creator. They've heard about the Son of God who came and bled and died and rose from the grave. But what impression have we given them about God, Holy Spirit? For the three are one, and they need to be presented in their power and in their purpose to the earth realm through the ambassadors that we have been chosen to be for the kingdom of the living God. That power of the Godhead to us through Holy Spirit is the acknowledgement. We become the witness to humanity, all mankind, that Holy Spirit is more than an it or a feeling or a shout or a praise, but he is God. He is God, magnificent and awesome. He is God, holy and righteous. And his ministry to our souls are paramount because God said, Jesus said, the Son of God said to us, it'll be okay when I leave because I am the Spirit of God is going to come and abide in each one of us without measure and without end. And so we praise God for that awesome understanding that flows to us and in us and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the author starts this chapter 16 with the awe of God is our delight. And he starts with the scripture, 2 Corinthians 13 through 14. So good morning, everybody. Get excited. This is just, it just gets us, they say, gooder and gooder. Just when you thought, you know, then you realize it's so beyond whatever I could ever think, hope, or imagine what God has in store for us and how he is revealing it to us through his word and through words that have come from his word, through authors who have been anointed and blessed and empowered to share some truths that have been revealed to them. They are not lost, but they become the foundation of generations. And our life and our living is bringing and maintaining and establishing a foundation for generations to come as we allow Holy Spirit to do his perfect work, his perfecting work through us. The river of the Spirit, it is widening the spiritual realities and creating a tremendous overflow that will extend and is extending beyond the church. When I was growing up, the only understanding truly that was communicated to us by the whole of the ministry of the Holy Spirit was this euphoric encounter you would have in the presence of God, which is true, but it seemed to have been limited to a time in a worship service. It wasn't necessarily something that would have happened just periodically or sporadically through your life through the week. And it was a thing that became a doctoral debated issue. And so there were some no-nos around it and some, you know, we're just not going to touch that. We're just going to leave that alone, or, you know, it is what it is. And we didn't really pursue Holy Spirit. We did not pursue Holy Spirit's presence in our life. We thank God that when we were saved, he gave them to us. And we questioned sometimes the manifestation of that based on doctrine and interpretation. And yet, we were aware of him, but we were not surrendered and submitted to his ministry that he wanted to release in our life. And so the author starts with 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, the 13th chapter, 14th verse. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And that just says everything. That's the life of a saint put into one sentence. And and the details of that could fill books, if written out, would fill the world. But it's grace, it's love, and it's communion. It's that triune thing. It is a Holy Spirit. It is God the Father. It is Jesus Christ, his son. The grace of God, that unmerited favor, it's that anointing. It is that power, that divine enablement that was manifested through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as he lived on earth as a human, as he walked through his journey of life on earth, just as we walk through that grace, that divine enablement. And that came from Holy Spirit. And then the love of God that sent the Son, the love of God that provided the Son, the love of God that sacrificed the Son so that we could be redeemed back into this wonderful love relationship that God has with us. And then the communion of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it has to be this constant contact, this constant interaction, not an event and not a moment, not for a Sunday or for a service, but a continuous connection with Holy Spirit. That is what we are in need of. And so this is the promise of God. It's part of the covenant. It is part of the release from the covenant. And then some very powerful revelations are revealed to me in this particular chapter as it relates to how we impact the world, how we take over the mountains of influence in the world, how we transform the atmosphere, how we shift those things that are happening and redirect them to the kingdom of and the will of God. This is the river of the Spirit. It is widening the banks. And so it's coming outside of the four walls, and it's becoming now more prevalent in the marketplace, in the world, more acceptable, more heard of, more known out in the world and out in the things of the world, on your jobs, at church, at school, at the workplace, in the family, in the government. This is becoming a known, I won't say fact, but the known person of the Holy Spirit, because he's coming through us. He's coming through us in our communion with him. Jesus shows us an example of this in Luke when he says, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. That's who Christ was, and he was this through the grace that was divinely imparted into him through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kept downloading into our Savior as he grew in strength and stature and favor with God. And because of that, he became known to the people, not just the church, but even to the enemies of the church, not to just the religious community, but to those that had no religion, actually, to those that worship false and idol gods and those that worship no god. But he became known to them because of his mighty deeds and the word that he lived out before the people, before all the people, not just in the tabernacle, but wherever he went, whether he was eating with sinners, or he was on a mountain with those that desired, or he was at the river. No matter where he was, he lived out powerful revelation of the knowledge and the understanding of God. He allowed the many dimensions of this kingdom of God to be viewed through his living, through his wisdom, through his knowledge, through his understanding of things, through the power that he had over things, through the counsel that he was able to share in the earth realm, that would they just amaze the people. They couldn't understand, where does this come from this little boy. When he was 12 years old, he was displaying the power of the Holy Spirit. He was walking in the multiple dimensions of the sevenfold flow of Holy Spirit. Just an awesome preparation for an explanation and example for us to understand exactly what empowered Christ's life to change not just a world, but the world. The entire world for every generation, not just to come, but for that generation, and then for generations that had come before him. This was all changed because of this releasing this flow of the sevenfold dimension of heaven's God, Holy Spirit. And so God has ordained us to be fruitful just as Christ was. This is something that he promised us. And when we were reading about the vine, being attached, abiding in the vine, who is Jesus Christ, abiding in him from John 15 and 16, and God has let us know, I've told you to do this. You shall bear my fruit. So we've been ordained. In other words, we've been picked out, separated, or we've been chosen, picked out, separated, sanctified, and then empowered to bear this fruit. And what fruit is it? It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This fruit of the Holy Spirit is the revelation and manifestation of the power of heaven as revealed through Holy Spirit. In Luke 24 and 19, it talked about these mighty deeds that Christ did. And these deeds were in every area of his life. As I said, it wasn't just in church, okay? But it was wherever he went, no matter who he was with, and no matter what was being done, that was the root of it all, was the desire to express and manifest the power of heaven on earth through him, through what only heaven's intervention could bring to the earth, through that grace that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says we live in communion with the Holy Spirit. More we live out, the more we live in the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit. The author shares with us, he says, as we read this, his prayer is that for a deeper quickening of the Holy Spirit from the deep wells of the presence of the Lord in us. And that just, I got an asterisk and all kind of highlighted and scribbled all over the page, because that is so full of revelation. It's, you know, when it says, and I looked up quickening, it's like, what is the deeper quickening of the Holy Spirit? Because he says, as he reads, this is what he's praying for us, a deeper quickening of the Holy Spirit. What is the quickening of the Holy Spirit? A quickening is to make alive, is to revive and resuscitate as though dead, to bring life to an inanimate object or person, and then giving life and energy to someone. Giving life and energy to someone. Waking us up, making us alive, no longer dead in the things that, because of what we know, but made alive in the things that what he will reveal about heaven. And it says, this is from the deep well of the presence of the Lord that's in us. It's in us. Remember Christ, the scripture says, the Father, as you abide in Christ, it's in us. It has been ordained. This fruit is in us. This quickening is in us, and it's being made alive. Christ quickened us. He brought us life. He brought us alive from the dead place. Sometimes I think that all of these games and the world's fascination with zombies and the dead, it is just a manifestation of the condition of the world. They are the living dead. They are dead because they are not alive in Christ. They are lifeless. They have no fruit. They don't produce anything other than horror and terror and hopelessness. And so they do walk mindlessly about just destroying because they don't have life. They don't, haven't been quickened. They do not have an understanding of the value of life. They don't have a knowledge of the source of life. They do not have wisdom on how to use life. They do not have the counsel of heaven of what life is for. And so they just walk around mindlessly. And yet we have been given these sevenfold dimensions and functions of the Holy Spirit so that we could know who we are. So we would know that we were here for a purpose. We're not walking around mindlessly and just following a crowd that doesn't even have anywhere to go. They're wandering, and we wander in what do they call it, herd mentality. We just kind of go with whatever flow is going and whatever thing. If one person sees something and they all look at it, then they all just start mindlessly going toward it. And so it is such a good picture of the condition of the world. And God has to look at his creation, and he made us. He made this world. He made us in this world. And he has that look at this condition, and his heart had to be broken that these that he had created in his image are walking around dead when he gave them not just life, but he gave them authority and dominion. And they walk around subject and lost. And so as this has been revealed to us and to it has just become the truth of, which is why I believe that it is so prevalent in the media and in entertainment, and people are entertained by mindless things. And so it is our destiny to bring an awakening, to bring a quickening, to resuscitate, and to resuscitate through that which is flowing through us from Holy Spirit. One of the results of learning to live in the flow of the presence of God is growing in the knowledge of God. And now we're coming to the point where we're going to understand some things, and that we're going to understand that this growth is not because we've attained some knowledge, but rather because we have made a connection. We have established a relationship. And in this relationship that we are allowed to establish through the power of the Holy Spirit imparting to us heaven's blueprint, so now he's releasing to us some truth that we need to know that will, and this truth is the only thing that will bring us a hope and will bring us life, that will resuscitate us, that will wake us up from that dead place of darkness and bring us into a place that is energized. It is full of life. It is illuminated. It is true. And it is that spiritual realm being the borders being increased, increasing the borders of spirituality, so we understand it goes beyond the church. And it goes into us holistically. It is providing for us a whole new dimension of living. When it says when we are growing in the communion, in communion with the Holy Spirit, he is establishing a deep love of the Lord within our hearts. Because that's what that communion does. That's what that relationship does. It's no longer just information about the names of God and the things that God has done and what he has created. But now we're looking at God. We're in the presence of God. His holiness and his presence is so illuminating that it makes everything else pale. And that's how you know the other stuff is dead stuff. The stuff that's alive is that we get and we are exposed to in this deep communion and knowledge of the Lord God in heaven. And this deep love that is formed in the Lord causes us to be established in love and established, rooted and grounded in our life. And from our life will spring out love. That's when these fruits will start coming forth from us. Because we will be established in the love that we have come to know through our relationship with the God of glory, through the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's releasing it to us. I love it when it says, quickening also, it says it makes him, it says shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shared the fear of the Lord is just a deep love and adoration for God. And as we are exposed to, or as we experience, as we walk in the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, this would take an eternity for us to get to an understanding, to get to an understanding of God and His love. But through the Holy Spirit, this understanding is done quickly. It's given to us. It is downloaded. It's imparted into us. It is shared to us, because it would take us forever if we were trying to, in the natural, understand this love of God, this fear of God, the awesomeness of God, the person of God, the knowledge of God. We couldn't attain to it. But through the Holy Spirit, this work is done. And it's done, it says, a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. And even though quick may take 20 years, in the scheme of eternity, that's a quick work. That is a quick work to bring us to this place of the fear of the Lord, this place of where we love and we adore. We deeply love and adore the Lord God in heaven. And because of this love, the work of the Holy Spirit, it has created in us, this pleases the Father. Oh, what a joy it is to please the Father. When we please the Father, then our actions and our thinking are going to start changing. And when that starts changing, we'll be given authority. You know, we have the authority, but the authority of God will then be released in our conversation, in our hearing, in our judging, in our walk, in our life, in our thoughts, in our desires. He writes out Isaiah 11:3, he says, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And this is done so he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, nor reprove after the hearing of his ear. And then he goes down further from Isaiah 11:4-5. He says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and approve with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteous shall be the gird of his loin. In other words, righteousness shall be his hunger. Well, hunger and thirst after righteousness, because he will have been revealed the deep love and adoration. It has been revealed. His knowledge of God will reveal the deep love and adoration he has for God. And as a result, he will hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, and faithfulness, the gird of his loins. So faithfulness shall be what constrains him. His faithfulness to this deep love and adoration he has for the Lord, this reverential fear of the Lord, will constrain his flesh and will not allow it to function, but rather those things that heaven desires, because his heart is to please God. And so those things are what will be revealed in his life. It says God showed us how to live out. Oh, I'm getting something to the computer. How to live out. Okay. Give over here 1 minute. But how to, just as he showed Christ, how to, everything he did, he shared with us. There we go. He shared with us. He did it because it's what the Father wanted. And all he wanted to do was to show his love, his deep love and adoration for the Father. And he kept saying, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I hear the Father do. My work is to do the will of the Father. This great adoration, this deep love and this communion that he treasured with the God of glory, with his Father, is what motivated him. It's what held him. It's what constrained him. It's what he was hungry for, those things that pleased the Lord God in heaven. And those are the things that motivated and empowered his life and all that he did. So we find a pattern for living just as Jesus did. Jesus' lifestyle was a union with the Father, which arises from living in the multiple dimensions of Holy Spirit, living in the understanding and wisdom and knowledge and counsel of God, the might of God, the fear of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. And that lifestyle and that union with the Father quickened his understanding of this deep adoration, quickened his understanding so that this fear of the Lord was developed within his soul. This flow enables us to live according to spiritual sight and hearing instead of our natural sight and hearing. It says, the scripture says, "For he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, nor reprove after the hearing of his ear." So in other words, we no longer regard and have these preferences. We no longer see things our way or my thing is or the way I see it. No longer becomes the desire of our heart, but rather my Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, will give us the counsel of heaven, so that we will know what the will of the Father is in whatever situation and circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter what sight we see. And one thing I love, because he says that just what we see by the Spirit, we will make these decisions based on the heart of God and his word. And it says, for the poor, for the scripture says, with righteousness shall he judge the poor. And that's what the hunger and thirst for righteousness shall he interact with. And it says those that are spiritually bankrupt or having spiritual things lacking in their life. So he's telling us what our response need to be. Spiritually bankrupt means they don't have them at all. And those that have them but don't have these things in the source of power that God would have them to demonstrate in their life, that we won't judge them according to our eyesight, but God's eyesight. One of the things that was shared in one of the other studies we were doing is that when you see someone that's so unlovable and so difficult and so or so evil or so unworthy according to human standards, when we look at them, we need to look at them the way God looks at them and see them out of God's eyes. And the only way to do that is through the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit being where we dwell, in that river that we are submerged in. We're saturated in these truths, in this power that flows, in this illumination, because we realize that these seven things illuminate. They bring a light and a sight and a purity into our understanding that perfects that which has been polluted and compromised, and it purifies it. It says, like Jesus, we can know and walk in the powerful quickening of the Spirit of the Lord, that coming alive, being made alive, and just as it made us alive, our conversation will then be able to make others come alive, because we will be honoring what the Word of God and the will of God is. And when we do that, his voice is the voice, and the authority of our voice becomes his. The awe of God is the work of the Spirit established in us by the word and the anointing. We all know that the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit releasing his power in our life to manifest those things on earth as they are in heaven. It says that we can, we're respecting anything, but just the awe of the Lord comes from knowing and encountering the Lord. It is born out of a relational revelation knowledge of the Lord that is established in us through the Word, not through somebody's conversation, but through the Word of God. And the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is established in us through Him. So as we walk in His grace, receiving the secrets of the manna that comes to us to nourish us spiritually, then we will produce and we will walk in this deep love and revelation and adoration of God. It's so much deeper than any definition that the earth comes with, like they were saying, with respect. It's so much more beyond that, because you don't have to know someone to respect them, okay? You don't have to have a personal knowledge of them to respect them. You may have a knowledge or understanding of some of the things that they have done, but to have this reverential fear and awe come from more than just a knowing, but rather the spirit of knowledge. As the Spirit of the Lord brings this quickening and deep awe, He also releases the spirit of intercession in us, causing us to cry out with petition and pleas to God to move and for the saints to know His will and plan. And so when this deep awe and deep love and adoration is built in our spirit and it builds us up and it becomes who we are, then this spirit of intercession, then we'll automatically want this for everybody. You don't get a good thing and just want to for yourself. Now, this is a good thing and a powerful thing, because the purpose of it is to bring glory and honor to the one that you love and you adore, and you are a servant. And so we're going through, as we grow in understanding and knowledge of God, the more we live out this delight, and that's the thing, the shift that I see that the teaching is bringing us to, because most of these things we know. We've heard them. We've learned them. We've studied them. And yet when we live, we don't live in the peace of it, the grace of it, the knowledge of it, the delight of it, the joy of it. And that's the part, you know, we can look at a thing, look at Christ's life, and with natural eyes, and it's like, whoa, nothing that happened to Him is something that is joyous. And yet it isn't. And what we tend to do is try to do what He did. And He said the things that I do, you do, and greater things. And so we're looking at those things. But we don't need to look at those things. What we need to do is look at why He did it. That's what made the doing of them so powerful. Because He did it because it was what pleased the Father. Pure and simple. It was what please the Father. And because of this knowledge, from the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of wisdom, He came to understand that there was nothing too difficult nor impossible. It doesn't exist, because He had the spirit of understanding and wisdom of who God was, and this awe and this deep love that was birthed out of that, was established in His spirit, became the flow of His heart. And so that which flowed from His heart came from heaven's grace. And He realized there was no limit to heaven's grace. There was no limit. There was no ceasing. A little now and known, turn it off, go on, come and rest. There was no ceasing. It was nonstop flow. And because of this, this will create a shift And I love that because for the church anniversary, the theme is shift. And so when I saw this, and it's like, you know, we say these really wonderful catchwords and themes and such, and it's like, but what does shift mean, and how does a shift happen? You know, and we're going to sit and wait to see, okay, what changed, okay? No. The shift comes through us. We are the shift because as the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold function, all seven of the functions, and the author get to that near the end of this chapter, but all seven has to be in established in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, the threefold part of us, our body, mind, and our soul, and our emotions, our will, and our desire has to all in every area. Remember the scripture said, for Christ these mighty deeds that he did were in every area, in every area. And so this release and this anointing, as it flows, it comes from the whole man that has been surrendered wholly to God, our reasonable service. So when this happens, the shift that happens is now released in the atmosphere through our heart, through our love, through our conversation, through our response, through our actions. It literally, from walking and dwelling in the river of the flows of the Holy Spirit, it is releasing a change in the atmospheric pressure, if you will. And that's what anybody that's the weather meteorologist, they know when that pressure changes, there's a shift. It becomes hotter, it becomes colder, it becomes wet, it becomes windy. There is a shift. There is a change of direction of things because something has been released. And this something, the author is telling us, you dig this out of your well of salvation, this deep well of salvation. Because what he says, what this will do is stir up your holy emotions. I love this because we talked about emotions. There are good ones and godly emotions, and then there are ungodly emotions. But now there are even holy emotions, and those are different because this a godly emotion is love and joy, but there's a holy emotion of reverential fear. That's a holy emotion. That fear is an emotion, and that emotion, when released, is going to change the environment. Is going to change the context of the air around you. It will change your actions. It will change the actions of other people. When they talked about the well, I said, that's what they're talking about. Yeah. So when he talked about the well, we probably should stop before the well, and we'll do the rest of the chapter maybe next week, because I do want to leave it open for individuals to share their revelation and insight, the things that God showed me, what he revealed to you. I know that it says that the atmosphere changes when people step out of their personal limits and fears and are transformed in the atmosphere of breakthrough. We've heard this, there's a breakthrough, but what we have to realize is that the spirit of Mike, this comes from the Holy Spirit. This comes from one of the sevenfold functions of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of might releases refreshing and renewal and replenishment and refocuses. Weeks and months and even years of weariness are replaced with freshness in the Lord. His might releases this, and that's a whole change of the atmosphere. when you're no mm-hmm. longer, when you have too many people in a service that's weary with just life, tired, and they can bring the whole service down. But you get two or three that have been repressed with the Holy Spirit, they will release a power that's changing the atmosphere. That's the difference from something being dry and something being moist. Once that moisture of the word and the water of the word, of the living water, is released, that dry atmosphere grabs hold to those moist molecules, and the atmosphere is more breathable. It's more conducive even to activity and energy. It energizes you. And that's the shift that we need to look to and look for in the actually coming months, especially as they look for Christ. So we're going to put a pen in that, a paper, a top, and open it up for those on the line. It was a lot in this chapter. A lot.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
I'm trying to say this if I can remember it, because you did say a lot of stuff. But when, and it was all good stuff, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. When you were talking about the whole idea, this is many minutes ago, of the whole sevenfold, and anyway, I got the visual of, and you were talking about zombies and people being dead and us being dead and our deadness, and that had something to do with the fascination. Anyway, what was coming to me as you were saying it, I was thinking of animation. When you think of some of these superhero cartoon characters, especially the ones that are embodied in a normal type of character, and then all of a sudden when they are energized with their special whatever it is that they have, and kind of, and the whole body from the top to the bottom or the bottom to the top, however it takes them, is completely changed. And then at that point, they can operate in that power, When you were saying that, I was thinking of the Holy Spirit and how you had began with the whole idea of, maybe people over here had a one-dimensional kind of relationship from just church training, good, bad, and different. It was just where people were and what they knew, and so, it was like the Holy Ghost, comes upon somebody, and we think of, the Holy Spirit, or, every now and then, somebody might lay hands and, that kind of thing, and somebody said, oh, they were slain in the Spirit, but not really having an in-depth understanding of all of these components and elements and characteristics of who God is in that. But, as you were saying it, I was thinking this is the exceedingly and abundantly. This is the whole idea of when we surrender to that, that those things are actually our natural, because we have his super, when they're all working. And that's the point where you said the atmosphere around folks changed. I thought of some of the situations where you hear these stories of people being in things like airplanes and they're getting ready to crash or they don't crash or whatever, but where somebody says, wow, there was one or two people who said, no, we ain't going out like this. We're not cowering. I'm a believer. God is with me. I'm safe. My family is safe, which means y'all safe. Y'all are the collateral, not collateral debt, but, collateral blessing that the people of God are there. And all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit, when their spirit man is energized, that the rest of the people feel that, and if I can go, this will really be a stretch, but when you were also talking about wetness and the dryness, when I was seeing that, I was thinking of these commercials that you see with, just think of the Bounty, I know this is a stretch, but the Bounty commercial, wetness always pervades. It never goes back dry. Even if the source of the moisture relative to the size of the, just say paper towel, the dryness is so small, that moisture still creeps. It will creep, and eventually wet the entire sheet. if left there long enough. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just, I could just see that in the Holy Spirit as people are ignited, as you talk about people being, that's why it's so important to be in our spots and places, even when we're in dry season, to be where we need to be, doing what has, whatever it is that's been assigned to our hand. I think it's so easy to get frustrated with the way things are going because they're not going at our tempo or our timing or our liking or whatever, as opposed to understanding this is where we're supposed to be. And in the bigger scheme of things, this is just a cog in the wheel. And when we're where we are and allow the Holy Spirit to move with us, even if it's even if it doesn't feel ideal, and I'm not, I'm just talking about whatever is the ideal. Maybe you don't feel ideal. Maybe your finances aren't ideal. Maybe your home life or your relationships aren't ideal. But when we're in the place, spots and places where we need to be, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us in worship situations, in relational situations, God will always use us no matter what the intersection is, you know. And that's why it's so important to be faithful and be covered. You know, I don't know how I get there, but, you know, it really is. And that whole quickening, you know, even as I speak about him and those kinds of things, that it is just so important just to do what we're supposed to do. And, you know, all things work together, you know, and it's just important to keep that in mind when things don't seem, you know, ideal.
Amen.
Anyway, this was powerful, and when I think about those seven divisions that he talks about and the wells and the rivers in us that we have access to all of the time, he never cuts him off. This is a, you know, a river. This is fresh that is flowing. And then out of our heart spring, you know, the river's out of our belly to feed our brothers and sisters, but the heart spring in us that he continually you know, continually overflows. We just have to be sensitive to what's going on. But anyway, good lesson. Great lesson as always. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Excellent insight. And, oh, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? No, I keep talking. No, just... But I do want to challenge you because I know you figure, oh, we should have been through it this chapter. No. And the reason I stopped when I stopped, because I didn't want to go, and Elder even mentioned part of it, is these wells and the importance of them, the importance of the river that flows from the wells. And then the next thing is the seven trees, the seven plantings of the Lord. So I know you read the chapter, but just research just a little bit. Just see where the Holy Spirit takes you in your seeking. Why did God say these seven trees in these two different types of environments? Because God says everything for a purpose. There are patterns everywhere. And when we start identifying them, and these are the secrets of the manna, you know, when you start identifying and pressing them and you get the oil from them, the oil is an anointing. The oil is a grace that empowers us to do some things, and it also will help us focus on the things we should be doing. And so I just got so excited about those seven trees. Oh, my goodness. And again, and I gotta say, y'all did it. But anyway, I think about how he is tying everything that we have done. And we did a wonder about trees. And when he told me to do these trees, I so didn't understand. I said, well, you know, trees, what is, you know, trees? But when I started looking at trees, and first of all, trees are something that God created. That, number one, gives them importance. Because if it wasn't important, he wouldn't have created them. And then he chooses to use them to illustrate himself and his majesty and his power and his understanding, his wisdom, they do. They speak to them. But when you look at these seven trees, and first of all, it was seven of them. There's a lot more. Or he could have just said one or two. But he said seven. And so we don't want to just, okay, and then move on. Oh, you know what? This is where we stop and we get a hunger. Lord, there's more to this. You know, I want to know because it's revealing you. And I want my knowledge of you to increase. Because when my knowledge of you increases, the power of my boldness will increase. And I will be able to communicate, even on a more fiercer level, your truth so that others will hunger and thirst for it. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's how we edify the body. It's not to say, oh, we're going to edify the body. This is how we edify the body. Everybody edifies it. Edifies the body according to what office and title and gift that you have and you need to pursue so that you make sure you have not just buried it. And I'll wait for him to come back so you can see, give him, see, I got it, it is. Let him have to look all over the world for your talent because that's how far it's reached. Because you released it on behalf of his kingdom. So that's one of the things the author shares is the fact that what we establish now, we are establishing now for the generations to come. And so just so much power and revelation in this little chapter. And I just want to share this experience I had. This is the first time I ever had an experience like this. As relates to teaching. And I, my eyes was, you know, I was being lazy, let's be real. So I have the book on Audible. And so I said, well, I didn't want to read the chapter because, you know, when I start reading, then I go to sleep and stuff. So I figured I'll just put the Audible on. I don't know why I didn't think I was going to sleep with the Audible. But anyway, so I put the chapter on Audible. And I did. I went to sleep maybe three or four times. I kept waking up. I said, oh, do the chapter again. So I kept doing the chapter again. Oh, wake up. And I said, oh, I didn't hear that part before. I'll do the chapter again. So he taught that chapter to like 2 in the morning. Okay. Then I went to sleep. And while I was sleeping, I was teaching this chapter. I was blowed out the water. I said, oh, my God. You know, and I'm asleep, but I'm teaching. Never happened before. Then when I woke up, I said, oh, my God. Oh, God, he's always going to give it to me. Thanks for teaching class. But God is just, he is just amazing. But that was such a present. It was more than a counter. It was an event, a beginning. You know, it wasn't just an event, but it was a beginning. That is, I cannot express what that was.
Hey, overseer?
Yes, ma'am.
You know how like when we say, Lord, show me what you want me to do, and then he shows you, and it's like, oh, that's too incredible. But that's pretty awesome. That is an awesome. That's awesome.
that's
wow.
You know how you said, I'm almost speechless. I'm not speechless. Actually, he gave me so much speech. But he said, over my mouth, what comes out will be his words, and that's my heart's desire.
Hallelujah.
You know? But in my sleep, and I mean, I was speechless.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Whatever it takes.
Huh?
Whatever it takes, however he has to reach us.
Yes.
Dealing with you in your sleep, this is God. You know. it's not like it's, you know, it's somebody else trying to reveal something to you like this is God, of course. Yeah.
This is God. And you know what? It's
God
in my in my frailty and in my weakness. So I'm the one that won't read it. So I will listen to the audio. But
faith comes by hearing.
My friend has always
right.
There you go. And all night long, okay? And up until 2:34. That's why I say 2:34. I don't know what time. I must have been to bed at 10. You know, I was like, done. It's like, okay. And so, but just such an experience that I am telling you, I wish I could record it somewhere, you know, other than in my mind. Just phenomenal.
You have. You just recorded it into the atmosphere, into the hearing of whoever was on this line.
Amen. Well, that's true. That's true. So I do. I challenge you to check out them seven trees. And be ready for
next
week.
What was the question you said, Overseer, about the trees? What was the question that you put forth?
Ask God, why did you bring this? Why did you say that? You know, what are you revealing to me? What does this mean? What should I look for? Is there more to this? Is there reason for this? I want to know because I want to know you. I want to know you. You're saying something. I don't want to miss anything you're saying. I want to understand it. Ask the spirit of understanding. Holy Spirit, you know, reveal this. Teach me. What does this mean? I'm not going to just read past something for a knowing of it. I want the knowledge of who said it and why. Because God was talking. God said this about these trees. And he said it for a reason. Obviously, it's really good when you read, you know, what came before and what after and what the situation was. But the fact that he said these seven trees, okay, it is important. So that's your additional homework. Okay. So enjoy. Anybody else? Okay. Enjoy the personality, the power, and the character of the Holy Spirit and his ministry in your life. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Oh, I like that.